Okay, so all of mankind, that's everybody, whether you want to be considered to be a believer or a non-believer, all of mankind was called, was created for God's purpose. Now, you might say, how come not all mankind's following God's purpose then? It's because not all of mankind accept the calling that God has placed upon our life. So what is this purpose then that God has called us for in our life? Well, everybody has a different, something different. Their calling is a little bit different. But one thing that I can tell you is God's calling upon our life was meant to shape who we are and what we do. This is what His calling is all about in our life. So, in order for this to happen, everybody's calling has to start the same way, and it has to start and include the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing that we do, is by faith believing, we come to understand the work that Christ done upon the cross. We understand that God confirmed this work within us by giving us His indwelling Holy Spirit. And this is where our calling began in our life. Now, most people's calling began and ended at the same time, because they don't understand that there is so much more to what God has in store for us than just being called in to salvation, being called into the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So once we've been saved, now we have purpose. Now, does everybody understand their purpose? Not, we don't all understand our purpose. We only begin to understand that as we begin to gain wisdom. We begin to gain knowledge. But our purpose is that we're working together with Christ to restore what God started out from the very beginning, and that was unity in Christ. If you remember, if you go back and you read in Genesis, everything from the beginning had unity in Christ. It wasn't until sin entered in till this unity or this separation became known. So this means that as believers, as things begin to happen in our life as a believer, then God wants to see this unity once again begin to take place in our life in Christ. So this means that we begin to serve God according to His glory, not our own glory or our own purpose. So therefore, we've retained this hope. This hope of our eternal life with God. And this hope is going to come through a lot of different things are going to happen to us in our life in Christ. But one of the things that this hope gives us is God wants to help us to escape all of these things that distress us in our life. All these sufferings, all these things that we bring upon ourselves in our life. God wants to help us to overcome those things so that we might become better instruments of His grace and His mercy that He has instilled within us in our life. So He wants His love to abound more and more each and every day in our life in Him. So if you go over into the book of Philippians, we're going to turn there just for a moment. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1, starting with verse 9, Here's what he says. He gives you some pointers here. He says, this is what I pray. He said, this I pray. First of all, he says, that your love may abound. This is one of the things he wants for us in our life in Christ. He wants to see our love abound. Now, this is the love that God has given unto us. This isn't the worldly lustful love, but he wants His love that He has given to us. He wants that to abound within us. And he said it to abound more and more in knowledge and in judgment, meaning in the wisdom and knowledge of his word and the obedience that comes along with that. The next thing he says is that he prays that we might approve those things that are excellent, those things that he has in store for us in our life, those things that we begin to see the joy of the Lord in, and we should be able to see the joy of the Lord in each and everything that happens or takes place in our life. The next thing he says is he wants us to be sincere. He said to be sincere without offense until the day of Christ, meaning the day that Christ removes us from this world, whether it be as an individual or whether it be as part of the group of the church, however that may come about in our life. And then the next thing that he says to be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ Jesus unto the glory and the praise of God. So we understand that once we were saved, Christ came, he was born. This is what we're celebrating this time of the year, the birth of Christ. He died upon the cross. He done that to take our sin debt and so that we might be able to accept through salvation his righteousness. Now, once we accept his righteousness, then the Bible says there comes with that, there comes fruits of that righteousness, things that God wants us to experience as we live our life down here upon this earth. Sadly, when most of us leave this earth, we'll not have experienced only a small portion of the fruits of the righteousness of God, because the choices that we make, we have not chosen to experience all those fruits of that righteousness. So he said, these are things that came by Christ Jesus. These are things that glorify God. But here's what he said. He said, I would have you to understand, brethren, so he's talking to the Christian people, that the things which happen, he said, happen for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what our life is all about down here upon this earth. It's so that we can be an example and show others what the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ is all about. So God would have us as believers, one of the first things God would have us to do, he wants us to grow in our faith. He wants our faith to grow. He wants us to grow in our knowledge. He wants us to grow in how we discern the Word of God. Now, your discernment of the Word of God is not what I tell you. It's not what somebody else tells you. But your discernment of the Word of God is what God reveals unto you as you study and meditate and read and pray upon the Word of God. So that's one of the things he wants us to grow in, so that we might grow spiritually. He wants our spiritual maturity. He wants that to grow. He doesn't want us to be immature Christians. He wants us to understand, to know what the Bible has to say to us, and that is so that we might be mindful of the not just the things that are going on around us, but we need to be mindful of the needs of others. Now, when I talk about the needs of others, that covers a variety of things, but mostly he's talking about is the spiritual needs of others. He wants us to be mindful of those things. So that means when we're around other people, we're talking about the goodness of the glory of God. We're not talking about all the distressful things that are happening in the world and all those things that begin to get us down, those things that begin to depress us. But we're mindful when we're around other people. We're to be mindful of their needs means that we're always trying to lift them up in the joy of the Lord. We're not trying to bring them down through the worldliness that is around us. So we're mindful of those things, and it's only through our new life in Christ that God has enabled us to do this as we live our life down here upon this earth. He wants us to live a godly life. He wants us to live a sincere life. He wants us to live a blameless life in Christ. And we can only do that when we are totally dependent upon Him. Now, we can't be totally dependent upon God if we find ourselves more focused upon the world than we do find ourselves focused upon the obedience of God's Word. So when we begin to do this, then we begin to understand that now we're starting to live this life of holiness that God wants us to live according to what His purpose is for our life. But in order to do that, we have to understand what God's purpose is for us. So if you go into the book of Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 8, where it's going to read one verse, chapter 8, verse 28. And here's what he says. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, he gives you two things here that he says we know all things work together for good. And we would like that to be so with everything in our life. But he gives you two stipulations to that. He said all things are going to work together for good. But he says, first of all, it's only to the ones that love God, and it's only to the ones that are following after the calling of the purpose that God has given them in our life. So this is a promise. Everybody wants this promise in their life. It doesn't matter, sinner, believer, non-believer. Everybody wants this purpose because everybody wants to think that as they're running around out here in the world today, that everything that they do is going to be good. Nothing bad is going to come of it. Everything is going to be good. But because this is so misapplied to our life, because we do not follow the stipulations that go along with the promise that God has made. And we do that in lots of Scripture, but we're focusing on this one here today. And we do not follow the stipulations that, first of all, if you want your works to be good, they have to come through God. It only comes through those who love God. And secondly, it takes more than just saying, I love God. He says you have to be doing those things according to His purpose, not your own purpose as you go through life. So many might say that they love God, and there's many people out there in the world today that don't even confess to be believers, but they still confess that they love God. So there are those that profess it, but they've never accepted that saving grace of Jesus Christ. But yet they still say, well, I love God. Well, if you go over into the book of Titus, and there's other scriptures other than this one, but if you go over into the book of Titus, here's what he says. Titus chapter 1, verse 16, here's what he says. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, and this is what he says, being abominable, which means, if your Bibles say that, some of your Bibles might say obnoxious, because that's what abominable means, and disobedience unto every good work reprobate, or meaning immorality. So, and we can see this in the world today, and I tell people this all the time. It's a shame, but we live in an immoral world. Nobody has any morals anymore. It's all just went aside, and that's because he says they profess God, but he said they're disobedient, they're obnoxious, they're living immoral. So it doesn't matter what we're living, feeling any given day of our life. To truly love God means that we're not living in the world, but we're living in Christ. And that applies to us as believers. Because there's a lot of times as believers that we find ourselves living according to the world and not living according to Christ. So we need to learn to fulfill God's purpose within us. And it means that the expression of our love for God, it's much more than just a profession of our faith, but it's the opportunities that God has given unto us, those things that we accept as opportunities, so that we might work toward the good that we say that we're living by. All things work together for good. But only if you love God and only if you work according to His purpose. So that means there's a lot of things in our life that we're not working toward the good of God. Oh, now, I'm working toward my good. I want money in my bank account. I want a nice place to live. I want a nice vehicle to drive. I want. But it's only for my good. We got to work towards God's good, the things that glorify God. So we've got to remember that it means that we're working towards a specific end. Now, in our life, the only end we're working towards is when I get done, I want to go home tonight, I want to eat my supper, I want to lay down, I want to go to bed, I want to get up in the morning, and I want to start all over again. That's our specific end. That's not God's specific end. God's specific end is different than ours because His specific end has eternal value. And every day in our life, and this is, I know this is really hard to do, it's probably easier to say it than to do it, but every day in our life, everything that goes on in our life, we should ask ourselves, does this have any eternal value to it? Or are we just working towards a specific end? So these are things that we have to look at in our life. Worldly success will not get us anywhere. Only success in those things that God has in store for us will get us anywhere. So we find comfort. Here's where we should find our comfort. Well, a lot of times we find our comfort in the world, but we should find our comfort in knowing that through all the waiting, through all the suffering, through all the things that are going on in our life, that we know our life wasn't wasted because we were working toward the good of the specific end that God had in store for us. That means towards those things that had purpose and meaning in our life in Christ. So therefore, those things had eternal value. And we do this even if it does not take away the pain and the suffering of the things in the world that are going on in our life. Most people, when they begin to be ravished by pain and suffering, it's time to give up. Lord, just come and get me and take me home. How many times have we heard that come out of somebody's mouth? Lord, just come and get me and take me home. I'm ready to go. If God was ready for you to go, you would be gone. So if you're still here, God's still trying to help you work towards that purpose, according to His purpose. So over in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, here's what He says. Now unto Him that is able... And we're all able. I know we walk around now and we can't get off the couch of a night after you worked all day. You can't get out of bed of a morning. That's not the ability that He's talking about. He's talking about your spiritual ability. And if you have good spiritual ability, He'll help you with the physical part too. But He says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, He says, according to the power that worketh within us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. So a lot of times as believers, the one thing that we do most of all in our life, and what is the one thing that we do most of all in our life? We worry. Worry, 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 worry. What does worry bring in our life? Well, I can tell you, it doesn't bring anything good that glorifies God. So we worry about what's going to happen to us because we don't understand or we don't know what is best for us. But one thing that we should know is God knows what is best for us. So if we're always turning to God, He knows our future. He knows that if we follow after His word, after His wisdom, after the obedience of to the things that He has in store for us, He knows that those things will be accomplished in our life. So that means when things in our life seem out of control, things seem chaotic, they say we were angry, we're upset, we're worried, we still know that there's one place that we can turn where somebody has it all under control, and that's God. And that's the only one that has it all under control. So don't go thinking, well, I'm going to go talk to so-and-so down the road because they seem to have their life all together. I can tell you, nobody has their life all together. God is the only one that is in control. So we are assured through His Word that nothing can separate us from His love, because His love is the only one that is everlasting. And if we follow after His will and we make His will our will, then we'll learn to continue in those things that He has in store for us in our life. So you're only going to be able to accomplish things in your life if you're following after God's strength, His power, and you're doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit and not through our own worldly wisdom. So in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 41, here's what He says. Here's how we stay where God wants us to be. He says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." And Christ Himself is telling His disciples this, because if you remember, they went to the garden and Christ said what? "You stay here, pray. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to go on. I'll come back. And here's what I want you to do." And he went for a little bit and he came back. And what were the disciples doing? They were sleeping. So they didn't watch and pray very long, did they? So He says, "I want you to watch and pray," because He said when you're not watching and when you're not praying, He said you're going to enter into temptation. So what's that mean to us today? What am I watching for? Well, my hope is in when the Lord comes to get us. That's what I'm watching for. God said that we should pray for that every day. We should pray for Christ's immediate or quick return. So we're watching, we're praying, and He said if you're doing that, if you're focused upon that, then everything that you're doing is going to be things of eternal value, because that's where you're focused upon. And He said if you're not doing that, He said then you're going to enter into temptation. And Christ Himself told His disciples, "Here's why I want you to do that," because He said the spirit indeed is willing, but it's the flesh that is weak. So we have a willing spirit. How many of you have got up of a morning and you've made out this whole list of stuff to do? And I'm going to get this done today, this done today, this done today, this done today. And at night you're sitting there with your head down and you're all distressed and say, "I didn't get a bit of it done." We were willing, but nothing else cooperated. That's the same way in our spiritual life. So Christ, He tries to encourage us, just as He did with His disciples. He encourages us because He knows that temptation is always knocking at the door. There's never a moment, and I can tell you, even in your sleep, there's never a moment that temptation is not knocking at the door. So Christ acknowledges Himself that our spirit, and He's not talking about the old fleshly spirit, but He's talking about, He said it's willing to do what is pleasing unto God, but he said because of those things that are happening around us in our life, He said the choices that we make in our flesh becomes a problem. And it becomes a problem in our life because the flesh seeks after the lustful desires of the world. So Christ, he warns us about that. He said that there's always going to be temptation. And we read this in Sunday school this morning. If you go over into the book of James, and that this, if you have favorite verses in the Bible, this should be one of them. But if you go over in the book of James, and starting with verse 14, he said, "Every man is tempted when what?" We just read this. "When he is drawn away of his own lust and he's enticed." That's these worldly, fleshly desires that we have. And he says, "When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth" what? "Sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death." So we know that it all begins when we fall prey to temptation. And when you fall prey to temptation, I can tell you it's of your own free will. It's of your own choice. Satan didn't make you do it. Your neighbor didn't make you do it. It's of your own free will that you sin. And when we fall, we choose to do that, and we begin to act upon it, then it becomes sin in our life. Now, why does that? Because we know in our life we've been freed from the slavery of sin. Christ paid our sin debt on the cross. When He arose from the grave, He ensured every one of us that sin does not have to hold you into slavery. It no longer has to. But because we inherited that old nature from Adam, we haven't lost the desire to sin. We haven't lost the taste for it. Now, you can take that. There's some things that you eat that aren't good for you. Because you haven't lost the taste for it, you go ahead and do what? You eat it anyhow. I know it's going to make me sick. I haven't lost the taste for it. I'm going to go ahead and eat it and just deal with the sickness. We're like that in our spiritual life. I know not to do it. I know not to choose to do it. I know God's not going to be pleased with it. And I know in the back of my mind that when I do it, there's going to be consequences for doing it. But for some reason, I've done it anyhow. And now we're paying the price for that in our life. So we're warned. The Bible warns us of these things. And He warns us that our relationship with God is either going to continue on and strive and become fuller because of it, or it's going to be hindered because of the things or the choices that we make. God never gave anyone the right to live in disobedience to Him. Never. I hear people say all the time, well, I do it. God must be okay with it because He lets me do it. God never gave anybody that right. Never did He give anybody that right. And you'll never find anything in the Word of God that says God is okay with your sin. He does not tolerate sin, and He passes judgment upon sin in the lives of the believer. So in the book of Galatians, here's what He says. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And then if you just jump right on over into Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, He says, in whom also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. So whether or not we're living according to God's purpose, it's all about where we put our faith and our trust. What are we focusing on? If we're focusing upon ourselves, then we're only seeking those things that glorify ourselves. If we're focusing upon God because of what our salvation is all about, then we're focusing upon those things that glorify God, and we're doing it according to His purpose and not our own. So in order to know God's purpose for our life, and in order to know who we are and what we are doing in our life in Christ, then we have to determine that the things that I'm going to accomplish in my life today, are they those things that are purposed for myself? Or are those things that are purposed according to the good works that God has in store for me in my life? So in 2 Timothy, here's what He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. He said, who hath saved us? He's talking about, if we back up a little bit, He said, thou be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And that power of God has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now pay attention to this. He says, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So God didn't create you, and then one day when whatever age you were, whether you was 10, 12, 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever age, He just didn't all of a sudden one day, I think I'll let Him do something according to my purpose today. God's not a God that does that. Your life was meticulously planned long, long time ago. And when I say meticulously planned, I'm talking about every moment of your life God planned according to His purpose. Now, you might have missed a lot of it because you didn't accept His purpose right away. Once you did accept His purpose, you still might be missing a lot on it because every day you might not like what God has planned for you. And we do that as Christians every day in our life. So we're not saved because of our goodness and because what we plan to achieve in our life. We're not redeemed because of anything that we have done. We're not adopted into the family of God because of our own merits or our own works. But everything that happens in our life that is according to the good works of God happens because of our love for God and we're following after His purpose. That's the part where we know that we're following after God. So God calls us to what? He calls us to be holy. He calls us to be spiritually mature. He calls us to be set apart from all these things of the world. He calls us to live a godly life. Everything that we do... We do them because it's not pleasing unto us, but it's pleasing unto God. This is what it means to live according to the love and the purpose that God has in store for us. So this is God's will and purpose for all of mankind. From the very beginning up through now, as long as time continues, this is God's purpose because His plan, it all began a long, long time ago before time as we would ever know it. And it was a plan that we would do according to His purpose. So we know in our life, we're going to go back to Romans again. We know in our life that all things work together for good. But we know it doesn't stop there. All things do not work together for good unless you love God. And the Bible says, Christ, the two of His greatest commandments that He taught, He said, you love the Lord thy God with what? Some of you tell me. You love the Lord thy God with all your
heart,
mind, soul. What's the last one? You have to go back in Mark to find it. He's the only one that mentions it. Strength. Four of them. That's what the love of God is all about. And not only do we have to do it according to the love of God, because the love of God also says that you're to love your... Anybody?
Neighbor.
That's right. Neighbor. How many of you have caught yourself saying, I go down the road, but I just don't like so-and-so very well. You got to love your neighbor as yourself. This is all part of letting your light shine and lifting one another up in the goodness of Christ. So you've got to do it to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we're so thankful, Lord, to have Your God-given ability to come out and to worship You, Heavenly Father, and to speak of the wisdom and the knowledge that your word gives unto us, Lord. And we would just pray, Heavenly Father, that we would take this, Heavenly Father, and we would prayerfully come to you, Lord, so that we might find understanding, Lord, that we might know what your love truly is all about, Heavenly Father, that we might understand your purpose for each and everything, Heavenly Father, that takes place within our life, the things that you would have us to do, Lord, that is pleasing unto thee. And we would just pray this day, Lord, that as we look unto you and as we look into your word, we pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to become more obedient, Heavenly Father, to your word, so that temptation, we know that is always knocking at the door, Lord, that we would learn, Lord, to shy away from that, Lord, and that we would find ourselves, Heavenly Father, doing those things in our life that are pleasing unto thee. We would just pray this day, Lord, that as we go through the days of our life, Lord, that we would be willing, Heavenly Father, as we go about, Lord, and do your work, that we would be willing, Lord, to lift one another up, Lord, in the joy of the Lord, so that others may see the happiness of your salvation, and Lord, see what your eternal life, Lord, truly is all about. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us, Heavenly Father, to share with others the good news of your saving grace, Lord, and that, Lord, if the opportunity arises, that you would help us, Lord, to point somebody in the direction of what your eternal life is truly all about. We just pray, Lord, today that you would forgive us where we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, that you would help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, Lord willing, we'll have Bible study Thursday evening, and we will once again be talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. What is it? When is it? Where does it take place? Okay. The 19th is when, at 6 o'clock, which is a Bible study night, but we're gonna use that for our holiday gathering or fellowship night. So and what we want you to do is, it's not just for, we're making it for the community. So bring anybody and everybody that you want to bring. Come out and enjoy some good home-cooked food. Won't be none of mine there because I don't know that my home-cooked food's good. But somebody's will be here and it'll be good. So come out and enjoy that. That'll be on the 19th. Also, we have changed the third Sunday guest speaking, which is Lou, and communion. We've changed that to the fourth Sunday so that they can be here also on the 19th. And then on that Sunday following, Lou will be bringing the word. And then, of course, Roger will be here to do communion with us. So that'll be on the fourth Sunday this month instead of the third Sunday. So we're thankful to be able to get together and to fellowship and to do these things. So did anybody else, was there anything else